In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us begin this morning service in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we, your children, have assembled this morning to hear the message of your kingdom, we turn our hearts to thee, asking that you would be with us, opening your word unto us. We pray this morning for those sorrowing children that are longing for the loved ones that you have recently called to glory. Instill in them this childlike faith to continue to gather the blood drops of your Son, our Lord Jesus, so that at the end of their own personal life, they could be united with those loved ones that have reached the promised land of heaven. We pray on behalf of those that are wandering in the darkness of sin and unbelief, that you would allow the light of your Spirit to yet shine for them. So that they could be partakers of your grace with us. We have so many reasons to thank you, dear Heavenly Father. But these tongues of clay, oftentimes, are so slow to express our thanks unto thee. We thank you this morning for all the blessings that you have given unto us. But above all the temporal blessings, dear Father, we praise your name for calling us here to be your children through the merit work of your Son, our Lord Jesus. And we yet say, as he has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This morning, before we read the text, I have a delivery to make unto you, dear brothers and sisters. This message of God's love and peace from the children of God from Minneapolis, where I served last Sunday on Rotation Sunday. Many of the children of God remember you, and they asked that I would bring unto you, dear brothers and sisters, their greetings of God's love and peace. It was a very warm place to be last Sunday, and My spirit rejoiced with so many there of this mutual faith that we have in God. This morning we will again pause before an Old Testament portion of God's Word. This portion of Scriptures is listed on the calendar for today's possible consideration. And the theme that is also noted for us to consider is this theme of unmerited grace. And so with that hope and prayer that God would open His Word unto us this morning, we will read from the first the book of Samuel. We will read from chapter 16, the first 13 verses, a somewhat familiar text to many of us, I would guess. The words of God are in Jesus' name as follow. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what to do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for he will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Amen. This portion of God's Word we have heard this portion of Scripture is used before, and in fact probably many times for those of us that have any age. But nonetheless, if it would be God's will to give up His Word this morning, we will consider this Old Testament text. We heard already in this morning about the theme for today, and we briefly touched on that theme this morning in Sunday school. And we had read from the New Testament time about a question that Peter had for Jesus. Peter was very open book, we could say. He asked questions that came to his mind, and it's beneficial for us today that Peter had such a nature, because we've been able to learn many things through the life of Peter and how he asked questions about things, and sometimes his questions were a little bit off, but he learned. Peter learned from his questions when they were a little bit misguided, or the direction what he was heading was in a way that wasn't according to the plan or the will of God. And we remember that Jesus rebuked Peter on more than one occasion, and he had told Peter difficult things, I would guess, for Peter. We remember that one time that Peter, I can't remember what was happening in that particular instance of Scriptures, but Peter said something to Jesus, and Jesus had to turn to Peter and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's not so proper, or I don't recall that happening, but you could look that up in the Bibles that you have. And so Peter was loved by the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus loves you, dear brothers and sisters. We oftentimes, at least when I consider my own life, it's in my own thought process, that sometimes it's a bit askew. But it's comforting for me to read in God's Word that Peter had similar struggles, and Jesus loved Peter also. But on that portion of Scriptures which we paused before this morning, it was from the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. And I don't see it here real quickly. Maybe it was the 20th chapter. I don't remember now exactly what that portion of Scriptures was, but Peter had told Jesus that, well, you know, we've left many things. We've forsaken lands and so on and so forth, and to follow after thee. Now, what kind of a benefit is there going to be for me now, or for us? And Jesus, I wish I could remember now here what that portion of Scripture was. But Jesus had to tell Peter that, maybe it was in Luke. I don't recall now, and it must be meant that it is so, but this portion of Scripture is that Jesus told Peter that thou shalt, I don't recall, so I'm not going to quote. But nonetheless, he had told Peter that in the end, you will receive everlasting life. You, dear young believers, what have you given up to follow the Lord Jesus? What kind of things have you given up? When I consider my life, and there's been so many blessings here in the life of a believer. There's been trials also, but when I look back on my life here today, I can see God has been so good to me. And I'm sure you, dear brothers and sisters, when you look back on your life, you would have that same kind of thought, that God has been so good to me, good to you. But it was so that this question that Peter had asked Jesus, that, you know, what remains for us, those that have followed after thee, and Jesus told him that in the end there will be everlasting life. We have heard just this morning about a dear brother that traveled here in this kingdom of grace with us that he's gone to heaven now. Just a few minutes ago he was here, now he's gone. There's no struggle for him. He's resting. He received his reward. The reward that Peter was wondering about, that what is it, you know, what kind of a benefit is there for me, for us? As many of you know, and I spoke about it this morning with a Sunday school student, I thought my life was going to end a week and a half ago, or a good possibility. I hadn't spent a whole lot of time thinking that, you know, I might die. I don't generally wake up in the morning thinking that this might be my last day. What am I going to do today? But it so happened that morning we woke up, my wife and I, we were on vacation, and along with another couple from this congregation, we didn't travel together, but we were in the same location. And we spent some time together, and that was wonderful. But nonetheless, we woke up in the morning, and we were going about our day, and we got this message on our phones. At the same time, our phones rang, or buzzed. We had them on silent, so they just buzzed there. And so she grabbed her phone, and I grabbed mine. And we opened our phones, and we had this message on our phone that there's a missile threat. And it's not a drill. This is the real thing. We are in Hawaii, and there's really no place to escape. I read it, and my wife read it, and we looked at each other. What are we going to do? So we asked for the gospel. If this is the end, I'd be here. It's so special to hear the gospel that you can believe your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. We blessed each other. And then, what are we going to do now? We didn't know what to do. But we're at peace. That is why we believe. We peaceably travel here in this life. We're at peace with God. And when we fall into sin, something happens to us, and we become not so sure of our direction. And on that particular instance, when we got that message on my phone, it came to my mind that, are there matters of conscience that I've been hiding? God gives us opportunities, dear brothers and sisters, to care for our conscience even. If you have matters of conscience, God gives you those opportunities to care for them. For what reason? He wants you to make it to heaven. That is the purpose. Unforgiven sin is the only thing that will lead us away from heaven. It makes matters confusing in our minds. When we have sin on our conscience, the matters of faith become very confusing and complicated. But somehow or another, when we've been able to confess the matters of conscience, and God has been there, it is God that washes those consciences of sin through the gospel, through His Spirit. Something that has been there so that has been so difficult, and it just is a thorn in your shoe. It's always there until you remove it, and then when it's removed, you forget about you forget about that the stone in your shoe or the thorn in your flesh. Because it's gone. There's no more pain there anymore. So it is for us as children of God. We haven't done anything to merit this grace of God. The theme for today is unmerited grace. If it's merited, it's no longer grace. If you merit something, you're owed it. It's you're paid it. But God gave it to us as a gift. It is a gift, dear brothers and sisters. The devil knows it's a gift. He once was a believer in heaven. He began to battle against God and the angels of God in heaven, and God cast him out of heaven. He's trying to steal that gift that you have. Protect it, dear brothers and sisters. Hold on to it. The devil wants to destroy that gift, make it seem worthless. But for our dear brother that just passed away, that gift that he had, delivered his soul to heaven. This portion of God's Word speaks to us about David. On this particular day in David's life, he was going about his day as the day before, I would guess. He was taking care of his father's sheep. He was probably very unassuming of anything that was going to happen to him in his life. He was just doing those things that he had been called to do. Doing what was right. A believer's desire in this world is to do what's right before God. If we're doing what's wrong before God, we're not endeavoring in the right way. If we're being disobedient, there's need for the gospel, dear brothers and sisters. But so it was that David was going about his day as the day before. He was caring for his father's sheep. He was the youngest in his family, or the youngest boy. I don't know if he had sisters, I would guess he did. But nonetheless, he had seven brothers. They were older than him. Some of you, dear boys, maybe you're the youngest of a family where you got seven older brothers, and you probably look up to them, and that's good. But for you older brothers, that I would hope you want to set a good example for your younger brothers. That would be example of faith, that you endeavor to care for your conscience and you want to believe and come to the hearing of God's Word. We were here last evening we had a little discussion. The parents got together and we visited about the way and the journey and how it is as children of God. We want to do what's right. Certainly we can say what's right, but do we do what's right ourselves? If you want your children to come to the hearing of God's Word, it would be a good sermon for them that you would do as you also say. Sometimes the best sermons are the sermons that are not said, but they're done. And how do you act? What is your example? And when I consider my own life, as I'm guessing the rest of you parents, it doesn't seem very exemplary, but it's my desire to. I hope my children want to believe. I can't believe for them. No one can. But I hope they want to believe. This portion, Old Testament portion, speaks to us about David and how he was anointed king of Israel. He was taking care of his sheep, the father's sheep, and just doing what he's supposed to do in this life. And on this particular day, Samuel came to their home. They lived in Bethlehem, I believe. And on this particular day, Samuel had been mourning for Saul. Saul had become very stubborn and rebellious towards the kingdom of God and the instructions of God. And he had lost his faith. And Saul, it was a hard thing for Saul. or for Samuel, that Saul had lost this gift of faith. And he was mourning for Saul, but I'm sure some of you parents have found yourself in that same place as Samuel, mourning for somebody that has lost the way to heaven. But so it was that God told Samuel, he says, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for me a king among his sons. So God doesn't want you, dear brothers and sisters, to live in complete sorrow either. You have much reason for joy in this life. God has called you to be his children. He has called you here this morning before his holy word because he loves you. God's word gives us strength to believe. The Bible says about God's word that God's word, it says that faith comes by hearing God's word. It's important that we come to the services of God's children, that we hear the voice of God, hear what His Spirit is revealing here in this world, this life. But so it was that Samuel had mourned for Saul, and God encouraged Samuel that you can continue onward. God knows about Saul, and He knows about those difficult things. But yet, don't let that destroy your own joy of believing, of faith. And God told him, I have now anointed, I want you to go anoint another man to be king over Israel. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul will hear me, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. So Samuel had these other things in his mind that, well, I don't know how this is going to work out, because if Saul hears about this that you're now asking me to do, he will probably kill me. And God just encouraged Samuel to do as he had told him to do, that he will take care of the other things. Just take a heifer with thee and say that I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. So God didn't tell Samuel then at this point in time that to go to Jesse's house and I'm gonna tell you which one of those sons I'm gonna anoint. It was a learning moment in Samuel's life, and it's good for us today, dear brothers and sisters. God doesn't look, as the Bible says in this portion of Scripture, says that He doesn't look like we see things. He doesn't see things as we see things. God looks at the heart. This faith that God has given unto you, it's a faith of the heart. It guides you to live according to God's Word. Our minds oftentimes are battling against this faith of the heart. It wants to make sense of everything and define everything. But there's some matters, and many matters, at least for myself, I don't understand it, but I can still believe. And you can too. You can just believe. Believe in the work that Jesus did. How is it that we can believe? I know all we need to do is just believe, but how is it that we can believe? We remember that portion of God's word about the man that was struggling with issues with his son, and Jesus told him, if thou wilt just believe. And this man confessed that, yes, I believe. But he asked God, yes, Jesus, he was speaking directly to Jesus. He said, but help thou mine unbelief. Always the devil is wanting to sow those seeds of unbelief in our minds. Help thou mine unbelief. If it was up to us, we would all be unbelievers. But God has given unto you His Spirit. And His Spirit guides you in faith. Without His Spirit, all you would have is understanding. The Spirit of God is a wonderful gift. It'll deliver your soul to heaven. And so this portion of God's Word, which we have read this morning, it's a real happening in the life of that home, Jesse's home, with his eight sons that he had. But it also gives us a spiritual picture about matters of faith. We don't choose. God chooses. We haven't chosen God, but He has chosen us. Why? I don't know. But I'm thankful. I can see why He has chosen you, dear brothers and sisters. But for me, I don't know. But I'm thankful. I haven't done anything to deserve it. In fact, it seems like I've done many things to not deserve it. But God has forgiven me. He has forgiven you for those things that you have done wrong. And so Jesse brought his sons before Samuel here, and he thought, well, I will do as God says. Obedience is a very important matter in the life of a believer, that we would just do as God says. Live according to His Word. And so it is that Jesse brought his sons as Samuel had asked. And one by one, beginning with the eldest, he brought his sons before Samuel. And Samuel seen this first son of Jesse, and he thought, certainly this man is the next king. Must have been a tall, very strong-looking man. They thought, certainly that would be a good leader. And we remember that when Samuel had anointed Saul, Saul was he was a tall man. In stature, in a natural way, he was tall. The Bible says about Saul that he was a head taller than most others. So people could see him in a crowd. And some of you, dear brothers and sisters, are tall, and there's some advantages to that, you know, and probably some disadvantages also. But nonetheless, God has made us according to His will and His purpose. But we remember that Saul, not only was he tall in stature, but he became very proud. And he became a greater than the kingdom of God. He began to depend on his own wisdom, his own understanding. And he became greater than the children of God. And when he was approached about that, he began to defend his position. And God rejected him. And afterwards, when he had been rejected from being king, then he for that reason, he wanted to repent because he wanted to remain king. The matters of his heart had become very confused, and he didn't understand what he needed to do to repent of the matters of the heart. But nonetheless, as now this portion of scriptures which we are reading this morning is that when Samuel was there before the sons of Jesse to anoint the new king in Israel, and Jesse brought his sons before the king, from the oldest, I'm guessing, to the youngest. And God told Samuel that, no, these are not those ones that I have chosen. And when I consider that, I think of many people in this world that I have business relationships with, and very nice people, friendly, and I've thought that, why haven't they been chosen? In some ways, it seems that they're much more what I would like to be on a personal level and myself, but so it is that God chooses whom he chooses. The Bible says that God has mercy on whom he will have mercy. God has been so merciful unto us, his children. And so it was that they brought seven sons before Samuel there, and God hadn't chosen any of them. It doesn't mean that they weren't believers. This was something that gives a spiritual picture to us, but it was a temporal happening also. And so it was that he brought seven sons before Samuel, and God says, I haven't chosen any of these. And so then Samuel asked Jesse, is this all? And he said, no, there's one. One son yet. The youngest son, he's working there in the field taking care of the sheep. He's the shepherd. And God says, through Samuel, says, bring this youngest son. And this youngest son came then before Samuel. And God says, and they brought David in before, and no, he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So, dear brothers and sisters, there's many things of this scripture text that we have read that I don't have much understanding of. But what this tells me is this: God chooses whom he chooses. We haven't deserved it. What had David done up until this day? Had he done anything special? Certainly in the eyes of his father, he hadn't. He was just the youngest son. He was the youngest, so he was doing that work that wasn't so dignified, maybe. And maybe the other brothers, I know there's that other portion of God's word when the other brothers of David were there in that battle against the Philistines, and they were great warriors and very strong and brave, and David was there caring for the sheep, and God told Jesse told David to bring these provisions now to my other sons that are in this battle, and bring news to them, and I don't remember the other things of that story. But remember that David went there. He was obedient. Another portion of God's word where the children of God want to be obedient. And when he was there, he heard that taunting. We could say the taunting of the world. In our day, maybe you've heard that taunting of the world. That you're missing out. But remember that David was a believing man. He had faith in God. And he heard this taunting. And he says, I will fight. I will go before this man. God gave him that kind of strength and bravery. And it wasn't a bravery that makes a man proud in heart. But he wanted to do what was right before God, believing that God would give him strength to battle. You young believers, you have, as we discussed last evening, there's many temptations in this life. Your parents are aware of some of them, probably not all like you are. God knows. God knows about the things that are difficult in your life. Put your trust in God. Put your faith in God. God gave you strength when you've been injured in this battle of faith. God wants to wash those sins away through the gospel. That's how he strengthens his faith. Dear brothers and sisters, this morning, maybe your battle has been so difficult and you feel you have no strength. God wants to give you strength this morning through the gospel. Uplift your hearts this morning to God. Receive this good news, this power from heaven. Believe this morning, dear brothers and sisters, your sins forgiven, your failings, your doubts, your worries. Believe them all forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. You need not worry. You need not doubt. As the dear brother that has reached the promised land, he no longer doubts. There's no worries for him. He's not doubting whether he went the right way. He's at peace, resting. Dear brothers and sisters, there's a reward waiting for you in heaven. As Jesus told Peter when Peter asked him that question, that, well, what will there be for us, those that have forsaken so many things here in this life? Everlasting life in heaven awaits you and I. So be comforted, dear brothers and sisters, this morning. Put your faith in God and the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus. God left the message of the gospel with his children so that they could be strengthened in this begun faith. Be encouraged and emboldened to believe, just as you are. As poor and weak as you might feel, you can believe. Your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. And that is the message that my heart needs to hear this morning also. I speak about not doubting, but somehow or another it seems to be a part of my life. But I ask that, will you forgive me for my many doubts this morning? I want to believe. I want to. I want to make it to heaven. I want to be as the man this morning that was able to lay down travel staff of faith and receive the crown of life there in heaven. And that is the goal for each one of us that believe. That's why we have come here this morning. Or have you come here for another reason? I'm guessing your desire is the same as mine, to reach the promised land of heaven. So be encouraged and emboldened to believe this morning. Just as you are, your sins and failings forgiven. In the name and blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our service this morning in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.